Come what may, do or die, we are leaving the EU on the 31st of October, our Prime Minister has said. That's pretty sure words. What are you sure of in your life? What are you certain about? 31st of October, your job, your relationship, your health, that justice will be done. If you're good enough, all will somehow work out okay in the end. Founding father Benjamin Franklin is famously quoted as saying, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. And he may have a point. There are things we like to believe, lots of things we hope for, but what in your life are you certain about? There was once a man, like many, who needed reassurance in his life. One man caught up in something with others, but it seems like everyone else is different. Does he fit in? Is he in the right place, going in the right direction, made the right decision? As others look on and do their best to dissuade him, he wonders. There are internal doubts. There are external pressures. It's a man who believes what he's learnt, been taught about Jesus. He believes in Jesus. He trusts in him. The king God promised long ago, the rescue of God's people, that this man believes he needs rescuing and that Jesus has done that for him through his death on the cross, paying the price we owe God for living our lives as gods of our lives instead of God. This man trusts in Jesus. Believes that Jesus is the hope for the nations, as we heard last week from John 14:6, the only hope for the nations. But I guess, like any of us, faces internal doubts and external pressures. Can he be certain about what he's been taught and believed? We're going to think more about that this morning in an introduction to our new sermon series in the book of Acts. Do have your Bibles to hand. We're in those opening verses of Luke and Acts this morning, which Sue read. Slides are on the screens to help guide us. Hold on, I'll give us a nod when we're moving on, but that's all okay where we're at now. We've prayed already, so let's take a look. We're in the book of Acts this term, an account written around 30 to 40 years after Jesus' death. Written by Dr. Luke. He was a physician, but he was also a sometime travelling companion of the Apostle Paul. So Luke's been with Paul at some point during his missionary journeys. And it's account written, verse 1, to Theophilus. And there's lots of debate about Theophilus, who he is, even whether he's a specific person. Whatever the answer, we can ask Luke that one day in eternity. We don't need to know that to know what God wants us to know as we read Luke's account. I'm pretty convinced Theophilus is an individual, and we know from Luke chapter 1 verse 4 that Theophilus is a Christian believer. And we know Luke's writing so that Theophilus may have certainty concerning the things he's been taught. Theophilus is a Gentile like us, not a Jew, but who's come to trust in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, the King God promised long ago, the rescuer of his people. But Theophilus needs reassurance, certainty, perhaps internal doubts. Does he really fit into this Christianity thing? Is it just for the Jews? Or can a Gentile be saved as well? Perhaps there's external pressures, persecution for being a Christian in a pagan world, or even from the Jews who reject Jesus as God's promised king. Luke writes so that Theophilus may have certainty. And we also know Acts chapter 1, verse 1, that Acts is part 2 of Luke's account. It's the follow-up, the sequel. There is a part 1, Luke's Gospel, and we refer to both books together as Luke Acts. It's actually one single account in two parts, with one theme, Jesus' ministry. Luke Acts is all about Jesus. Luke's Gospel tells us about Jesus' ministry on earth in person, and Acts tells us about Jesus' continuing ministry on earth, but from his throne in heaven. We might say remotely in our 21st century language, by the Holy Spirit, through the apostles. So it's sometime 60s, 70s AD, and Luke tells us in Acts about the last 30 years or so, what Jesus has been doing since he rose from the dead and went up to heaven, how he's been doing it, and who he's been doing it through. We do have our next slide. So we're going to jump right to the end of the sermon and the three things I'd love us to take home this morning, that the book of Acts is, and our three sermon points, a continuing account of Jesus' continuing ministry to provide certainty for Christians. The book of Acts is a continuing account of Jesus' continuing ministry to provide certainty for Christians. That's what I'd love us to get this morning as an introduction to Acts. The book of Acts is a continuing account of Jesus' continuing ministry to provide certainty for Christians. And I don't just want us to get that in our heads. I'd love us to have that certainty ourselves. As Christians, those trusting in Jesus with our lives, like Theophilus. Certainty that this book, Luke, Acts, contains the truth about Jesus. Who he is. What he did in his life, death, resurrection and beyond. Of what we've received as we've come to trust in Jesus. The rescue God gives us from the consequence of our sin. Of living as gods of our lives instead of God. As we read Luke, Acts, Luke wants us to have the same certainty about Jesus as Theophilus, the very first reader. And if you're here not a Christian, not trusting in Jesus with your life, know that there is certainty in Christianity, in all Jesus has done, and all he offers us if we will come to him. There is forgiveness and there's rescue because Jesus died in your place and rose again. Come and speak to me or a Christian you know about that afterwards if you want to know more. This is a really exciting book. That the book of Acts or Luke Acts it is a continuing account of Jesus' continuing ministry to provide certainty for Christians. Three things. Now I've told you what they are. We're going to dig deeper, briefly into each one. First, the book of Acts is a continuing account. Jane and I are currently watching Homeland at the moment. It's an American series about the CIA and terrorist attacks in America. And we're into season two, and it's not good news for me because we're so caught up in it that we're trying to grab time to watch each next episode when we should be doing other things, mostly like sleeping. But it's really, really compelling. And season two follows on from season one. The storyline sort of picks up where it left off. Luke Acts is the same. The story continues in Acts where it left off in Luke. Luke writes, Acts 1, verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus. So it's a two-parter. Acts is a continuing account. We're expected to have read Luke by the time we get to Acts. And if you haven't, here's an application. Do read Luke this week before we really dive in. We're diving in 2 weeks' time. We have Mission Sunday next weekend. But read Luke over the next couple of weeks. In fact, it's actually Luke's gospel that gives us more detail as an introduction to the series. It's where the whole thing began. So do flick back with me to Luke chapter 1. It's on page 855. Acts is a continuing account which starts here in Luke chapter 1. Dr. Luke has compiled verse 3, an orderly account. Having investigated things, followed all things closely. It's evidence, verse 2, from first-hand eyewitnesses to all that's happened concerning Jesus, the things Jesus said and did, and notably, verse 1, that have been accomplished among us. The NIV uses the word fulfilled. Luke's concerned not just with what happened with Jesus, but how what happened with Jesus fulfills all the Bible said would happen to God's king all the way back through the Old Testament. God's salvation plan has been accomplished, fulfilled among us, Luke writes to Theophilus. At the end of Luke's gospel, Luke accounts Jesus' words to the disciples, the soon-to-be apostles. after Jesus has risen from the dead. Luke 24, 46 to 49, Jesus says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." There's a sense of fulfillment in all Jesus has done. God's salvation plan is being worked out, fulfilled, accomplished. These words of Luke 24 are picked up in Acts 1. Possibly, and I think most probably, Luke 24 and Acts 1, they're recounting the same event. It's not crystal clear, but there's certainly continuity. So we're meant to see in Acts a continuing account, or like a follow-on from Luke, a continuing account of fulfillment from all the Bible said would happen to God's King in the Old Testament, the outworking of God's salvation plan. We can trust what we're going to read in this book of Acts. Luke has, chapter 1, Luke 1, verse 3, followed all things closely. He has investigated everything. His sources are good. Verse 2, eyewitness accounts. The account of Luke Acts is reliable. Its sources are reputable and they are credible. What we're going to read isn't just some musing about God, the reflections of one man's mind. It's well researched. It's as much an historical account as a theological one. It is rooted and grounded in real life events. This book is an historical account which tells us about the God of history who broke into human history in the person of Jesus. Doesn't that whet your appetite for what lies ahead? What are we going to find out about what the God of history is doing as we explore Acts together? The book of Acts is a continuing account, secondly, of Jesus' continuing ministry. Here we're looking at Acts 1 again. So we're page 909. I'm trying not to flip around too much. Back in Acts 1. In Homeland, sorry, I can't get out of my system. It really is compelling. The key characters are still all there in series 2. The CIA agent torn apart by events. The Marine captured and tortured, now released and back in the US. But we never quite know if he's actually a double agent or not. Series 2 isn't just a bolt-on where the production company sort of grabbed the name but changed the whole thing so it's unrecognisable from the first series. In Series 2, we really are back in it. We're still there. And as we get to Acts, we really are still in Luke Acts. Our key character is still at work. Series 1, Acts 1:1, in the first book, O Theophilus, Luke dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he'd given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he'd chosen. So series 1, Luke's gospel accounted the ministry Jesus began to do when he was on earth. Series 2, Acts will account the ministry Jesus continues to do now he's back in heaven. Christianity really is unique. There's no other world religion, as one writer notes, where its founder did not complete his work during his lifetime, rather just began it. I mean, what do you make of that? It suddenly brings Christianity alive to us. It's not an historic religion where we're trying to just understand the words of some dead wise man or prophet. Christianity is a living religion. Its founder continues his work from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll read about that special first stage as we go through the book of Acts. But as we read elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus continues his work today by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not apostles like the Acts apostles. They were unique. But we are still, as followers of Jesus, sent out by the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Acts is a book of Jesus' continuing ministry, but new characters are thrust into the limelight. They'd been there in series 1, behind Jesus, following him, his disciples. But now in Acts, these followers are the ones who continue Jesus' ministry through the Holy Spirit They were chosen, they were sent out, they become apostles. They were commanded, instructed, sent, there again, verse 2, by the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' ministry. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' ministry. Chosen by Jesus for the role. They weren't self-selected. They weren't chosen by the church for the role. They were chosen by Jesus. It's really important, and it's going to be increasingly important as we work through this book of Acts, that we realize we're reading through the account of Jesus continuing ministry by the Holy Spirit through verse 2, specially chosen and commissioned apostles. They had a particular role in establishing Jesus' church, building the foundations. We today have a slightly different role in continuing Jesus' church, building on the foundations. To use someone else's words, because the apostles occupied a unique position, they also received a unique equipment. And that's going to be really helpful for us as we read through this book and we ask ourselves the question, should we expect the same things to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit today? It is really the key question of this book as we seek to apply it to our own place and our own time. The Church of St. Richard's in 21st century Crowborough. Now, I imagine we'll keep coming back to this through our series, but for this morning, one thing, it's simply helpful for us to have a right sense of humility about our place in the outworking of God's salvation plan. Whether we're a bishop, and none of us here are bishops, or vicar, or layperson, whether we've been to theological college or not, those who've been members of a church all their lives, serving in different offices, any and every one of us will do right to have a good humility about the limitations of our ministry compared to these apostles. That said, and we know from our series in 1 Corinthians earlier in the year, that God's Spirit gives gifts to God's people, many and varied gifts for the building of the church. God's Spirit dwells in every single person who's trusting in the Lord Jesus. We have this glorious power at work in us, making us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus, encouraging us on with that great commission to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't yet know him personally, and to encourage one another as we grow in those relationships with him. Make disciples, it's a real privilege and it's a real responsibility. That's the mission and ministry of the church. And it's exciting for us here at St. Richard's as we look ahead over the coming months and beyond. So we do need to be humble that God didn't call any of us to be apostles, but we can also rejoice that he has called and equipped us with his Spirit to do the work of the kingdom in 21st century Crowborough. The story about Jesus, as one writer notes, is not completed by telling about his ministry, death, and resurrection. There is so much more. And here it comes in Acts. And it comes that we might have certainty as Christians. The final point on the outline. The book of Acts is a continuing account of Jesus' continuing ministry to provide certainty for Christians. One more flick, we're going to end back in Luke, chapter 1, verse 4, page 855. We're not jumping around again. There was once a man, like many, who needed reassurance in his life. One man caught up in something with others. But it seems like everyone else is different. Does he fit in? Is he in the right place, going in the right direction, made the right decision? As others look on and do their best to dissuade him. Internal doubts and external pressures. That may well be a picture of Theophilus. But doesn't it resonate with you too? Oh, it does with me. Every generation has many like Theophilus who need to be reassured that Jesus really did do what he said. That our faith in him isn't in vain, but it's the door to eternal life. That Christianity is worth persevering with to the very end. So how great in verse 4 here, Luke tells us why he's written, and it's that you may have certainty concerning the things you've been taught. The book of Acts is a continuing account of Jesus' continuing ministry to provide certainty for Christians. Internal doubts and external pressures. When the world tells us we are mad to live our lives for Jesus, that being a Christian is at best a crutch for the weak and at worst just an offence to other people. When we face the trials and challenges of living as broken people in a broken world with broken bodies and broken relationships. When God doesn't answer our prayers in the way we want or can even understand, and we begin to doubt if he's even listening. When the world offers us so much more if we'll live for what it offers, money and wealth. Friendships and status, sex and relationships, and if we will not, it rejects us. It's not easy being a Christian. Not for Theophilus, not for us. But in those moments, remember that Luke Acts is written for our reassurance, that we may have certainty concerning the things we have been taught. Things about Jesus. The things we believe about Jesus. And not just in our heads, but in our hearts. To fill us with joy as we know the God of creation is with us. He is in us. He is changing us to bring us to be with him home forever. As all those promises God makes to his people are ours in Jesus. He is our comforter. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our guide. He is an ever-present help in trouble. That he is with us to the very end of the age. Real confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the promises of God. As we finish now, I must end with one final quote, as I often do. Whatever pressure this believer is under, he should be confident that God has moved to fulfill his plan through Jesus. Like a pastor comforting a believer under siege by the world, so Luke wishes to encourage his readers. Whatever the nature of Theophilus' doubts, Luke invites his reader to consider the story of Jesus again and know that these indeed were events that have been fulfilled among us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this book of Acts, for all we hope to learn from it this term, and for the certainty it offers us as Christians, that our faith in Jesus Christ is well placed for true life now and forever. Wherever we're at, please turn each of our hearts to Jesus this morning, that we might know in him the sure and certain answer to all the questions we've been asking in our lives and about our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.